Hey, got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio I got Robs. Morning, Robs.
Good morning, Raglan friends.
Yes, yeah, getting close. Cuddle up to the microphone.
All right, too far away.
Yes, yes. You used to being outdoors, I know, and having lots of space. It's all cramped in here. Actually, do you live in a tiny home?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, you've had interesting living situations over the last few years, I know.
Yeah. Ever since I've been in Raglan, I've had some pretty unusual living environments.
Chosen, of course. I think even before there was a housing crisis, you decided that living outside was a thing you should try.
Yep. And also, even living in a tiny house, it's the tiny house is more the shelter, but it encourages more outdoors living. So
yeah,
as a result of that, I'm out now outside even more, which obviously I love.
That's good.
Yeah. It's
if you're in the UK, would you be able to do that?
Well, I heard the news this morning.
Oh, actually,
apparently so. Apparently, everyone probably wants to do that this summer.
Yeah, there's a heat wave. They're talking about 40 degrees or something.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
It's crazy, and it's like flooding in Australia and a heat wave in England.
Yeah.
Like, what will happen next?
I know, right? Yeah, I remember British summers, and it wasn't a summer. It was a day of sunshine and 60 of rain, where I'm from anyway, up north.
Yeah. So, enough reminiscing.
Yeah,
you wanted to talk about the basics of nature connection.
And
what does that even mean?
Well, yeah, I don't think it means anything. I guess that's the point. I think in the last good few months we've ventured a bit more broadly into the world of synthesizers.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And other stuff. So just bringing it back to I guess what it is I actually do, and what my work and my passion is, and how that fits into this modern world, I think.
So have you got an elevator speech?
Well, no, because
that's
the point. You know, it's about being natural and being intuitive, and you know, if I'm stuck for words, I'm stuck for words, and it's all right to be stuck for words. Obviously, you know, there's things which help having a bit of preparation for. But nature connection really encompasses the whole realm of nature, which really is everything, you know. And a lot of the teaching I do, or the mentoring I do, happens in the natural environment. In the bush, spend a lot of time in the bush. But you know, this studio is all nature as well. And
in what sense?
In it's built out of, a bird builds a nest.
Yeah.
You know, out of materials that over generations and generations it's learned to be efficient and effective. And I don't think the actual process of humanity doing that and discovering more advanced materials such as bricks and mortar to construct, but really we're doing the same thing. And
is it significant that everyone will think this is a slightly silly question, but that we have windows? Like, every building has a window. We're used to having windows. No one wants to be in a building with no windows, do they?
No, definitely not.
Unless it's a bomb shelter.
No, I think there's a whole bunch of research and traditional feng shui things saying how important where your windows are and having that natural light coming in just for general well-being, having that connection, I guess, that level of connection with the outside. But I guess this fits in as well to what you were saying before about my unusual living circumstances over the years. Because I feel in doing that, I have sort of journeyed a little bit. You know, I started off just living outside, just in a hammock tied between a couple of trees with a tarp on it for a year or two. And then slowly.
Like all year?
Yeah, all year round. Yeah. Healthiest year of my life, I have to say.
Right.
It was amazing. Really, really cool. And then from there, just, making things a little bit easier for you, for myself. Some basic, a roof, basically just a roof and half of a wall, to keep that rain off, have a bit more space. Obviously, I had my son with me.
Yeah. Did you have your son with you the whole time?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he used to sleep in the hammock with me.
He must have been quite little then.
Yeah, he was, one, two.
And now I'm wondering if social services would have been concerned about that scenario.
Yeah, I welcome those conversations. You know, I've never sort of lived in fear of people's perspectives of a lifestyle. You know, just value those conversations and, well, check it out. You know, like, I mean, experience this, and this is, yeah, we're toasty warm. We've got a fire. We can be as warm as we want on the frostiest night. And it's, you know, it's just a rich way of living. And as I say, it's the healthiest year of our life.
I mean, anyone who knows you and Matai knows it's all good, right? But there's authorities whose role it is to rescue children from situations that they might have thought that was one of them.
Yep. Yep. And I guess we can tie that into nature connection from, you know, that comes about from a level of disconnection. You know, if someone came with an open heart and an open mind to come and actually connect with someone and listen to them, and, you know, not just a checklist with things, yes, a disconnected, yeah, checklist, not really digging deep into, you know, the deeper story. And I guess that's the thing that we often, one way or another, sort of deal with in our society. Sometimes that lack of connection with interactions, especially when it's getting into a more sort of bureaucratic side of things. Yes. But I think it's something that we miss, and I think it's something, you know, probably all of us can bring a little bit more connection. And for me, I work with a lot of kids, and for me, it's a simple thing with kids of hearing their stories and not being like, no, I don't want to listen to you now because I want us to get this and this done and be efficient. Just having that time, just like, cool, yeah, what's been going on? What's going on in your life? And just being natural, you know, not necessarily following the timetable or following the book or the format, but just moment by moment being natural and intuitive and responsive to things happening around you. And I guess that sort of encompasses what nature connection is.
So it's not just about spending time with trees?
No, not at all. It's, you know, spending time with yourself, and it's, you know, I guess people might call it a way of living, but it's not a set way of living that you should live like this. And, you know, if you do A, B, and C, then it's good. It's a way of living intuitively and just checking in and, you know, seeing how things feel and seeing what actually feels right and questioning things and, finding that natural rhythm, which I guess is quite hard when we've always got places to be.
Like, you, I don't think you've ever answered a question that's a kind of a how-to question. What are the steps to this?
No. I mean, different reasons for that. I think just because I've experienced things and I've felt things, you know, that's for me to experience and to feel and to learn from. But, you know, I'm never going to assume anyone else is having a particular experience or not. I just do my best to try and listen to people and... And I guess being a mentor is more about, you know, not necessarily getting people to where I want them to be, but helping them get to where they feel they want to be. So, you know, and that might not be lighting fires with sticks or,
yeah,
you know, learning all the different trees and the plants and about the ecosystems, you know. That becomes part of our way of life. So it sort of, it happens anyway. But just helping people along with their journey, but to walk their path in a more connected way,
yeah,
whatever it is.
And I know that you would say that having a set steps or a set path to connection is a contradiction.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's not connection.
Yeah, for sure. Which, you know, it makes it in some ways a hard thing to explain. But probably because we like to overthink and overcomplicate things. But,
well, now we also want things really fast. I was just in my head when you were saying that, I was thinking about how would you make a nature connection TikTok video.
Yeah. I thought about, because I did have a Facebook page, someone hacked it, and now it doesn't exist anymore. But, I did go through that little process of trying to find ways to portray, you know, things which I felt were important, in a way which didn't sort of undermine or undervalue what it is. And it was pretty hard, I have to say.
Yeah. Have you heard of the concept of slow TV?
No, never.
So this is something that, I don't know how it started. It started in Norway, I think. And they put this is me trying to remember what happened. I think they put a camera on a train that went for hours and hours and hours and broadcast it on a state channel, like a side channel or something. And people really loved it, and they're just watching the train go for hours and hours and hours. And then they did the next year, I think they did one on a boat going up the coast, and so people started to try to get themselves into the video as well.
Yeah.
And they'd all see what was going on on the coast and in the communities that were there. And it was, and now it's a bit of a thing. You can look up slow TV on YouTube, and it's like I think there's one of going on the ferry across from North to South Island.
Okay.
So it's just the camera doesn't do anything. There's no editing, or there might be some occasional editing, very slow editing.
Yeah.
So it's not trying to grab your attention by being flashy. It'd probably be your kind of video, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, you may predict what I'm thinking right now. You know, I like sitting on the ferry. And
you'd rather be on the ferry, yeah.
Yeah, and to me it wouldn't, you know. I get, you know, if you're not having those experiences, and obviously you can't just jump on a train in Norway or whatever. But, and, you know, I think the psychology of it, of why people are interested in that.
Yeah.
And that sort of ties into, well, if you actually look out of your window and make those observations closer to home or sit on your deck, you know, there's so much to enjoy there. You know, there's magic happening all around us. And it is a thing which, I guess, confuses me a little bit. It's like the whole thing with the weather, you know, instead of looking outside to see what it's doing, it's just habitual to, you know, to tune in and Google what the weather's like today, whereas it's actually right around you, you know.
But we want to know what's coming.
And you would, if you observed closely the weather, you wouldn't need a forecast anymore.
So what's happening today? What's going to happen today?
Well, that temperature's dropped a lot, and that wind seems to be turning a little bit. So I think when it's this cold, I don't think there's anything too quick going to be moving in. The clouds are still quite high. But feeling for changes, you know, always knowing which way the wind's blowing, the intensity of the wind, the height of the clouds.
We know that, like, I know that there's a front coming up the country which is doing a lot of rain down south at the moment. What would you expect to notice as it comes up the country toward our part of the country?
Cloud levels would start to drop. Wind direction might change as it comes up, gets closer to the front. But animal behavior, birds, okay. Seabirds might start coming in. Yeah. Insects might start coming into the home. You might notice more cockroaches and spiders coming in, because you know they know.
How do they know?
The same way that we'd know if we spent our lives just looking for patterns and signs and really, yeah, you know, connecting, really sort of feeling.
I mean, you do notice when there's been a period of good weather, and then there's a cyclone coming down from the Pacific, you can feel that. You can feel the humidity.
Yeah.
And there's a type of cloud that comes in on the edge of it.
Yeah.
That is different to the frontal stuff that comes through.
Mm.
Like, even disconnected people, some will notice things like that, I think.
I mean, you know, everyone is actually quite connected. When I say disconnected, you know, we can't help but be connected because we're alive in this world. But also, just, you know, talking about weather, you know, nature isn't necessarily a book. It's full of patterns and it's full of, but it's not black and white. And, you know, I don't think the day is going to come where I can say, yeah, I can very accurately any day predict the weather and what's going to happen in the next couple of days. You know, you see lots of patterns, but as I say, it's not black and white. It's complex, and that's the beauty of it. You know, you just keep observing, and when you think you know something, and then suddenly something reminds you that you don't, and then the journey never ends.
So, are we covering the basics here? Because what we wanted to do at the start, because I know we normally let things run, but today I thought I'd actually try and cover the basics.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't have a list of your 10 basic points,
do
you?
No, I don't have a checklist. No, I think, you know, the point I'm trying to get across is that in any part of your day and in any part of your life, There may be ways that if you know, if you slow down a little bit and give yourself a bit of time, there may be ways that you can do things in a, you know, to coin a term, a more connected way, whether it's connection to yourself or the people around you or to the environment, you know, whether it's spending a bit of time enjoying the world, you know, just giving some time to just enjoying where you live and, you know, the people around you, a bit of time to just sort of see how you're actually doing, you know. It's quite hard to find that time for ourselves to...
Well, you mentioned sitting on the deck, you know, no need to go to Norway, sit on the deck and notice what's happening there. I know for a lot of people that it'll be very hard to focus what's on what's in front of them. Their brain will be bringing up things to discuss, or internally discuss.
Yep. So just about know. Acknowledgement of like, huh, you've been sitting on my deck, kind of hard and doing that, you know. And
yeah, it can take a week.
Are you okay with that? Is that, you know, that might be fine. Like, our brains are amazing machines, and the thoughts and the creativity they come up with, you know, it's awesome. So maybe that's cool. Maybe that's something that people enjoy about being a human. Maybe some people might feel, oh, that's a bit too noisy for me, actually. I actually quite like to just sit on my deck and be still. In which case, you know, like, all right, so that's something for me to work on a little bit. And
I think most people would like, well, people who are busy, especially with jobs that involve a lot of brain activity and like administration jobs where there's just stuff going all the time, it probably takes a week, the first week of the holiday, before they can't able to drop that. And a lot of us know we want to drop it.
Yep.
But it can't. It was very hard to make it happen in a thing a couple of hours sitting on a deck. But I imagine that the courses you run, like you had the fire making one a few weeks ago.
Yep.
I imagine that doing something like that is probably a faster way to it. And I'm not saying just because speed is important, but a more direct route.
Yeah.
To it.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I mean, yeah. Obviously, we run a lot of workshops. And we run the school, and yeah, we found there's certain practices which do help inspire you, if nothing else, I guess, you know, and make it fun and make you sort of want to and make you interested in the world, and that sort of gets you, because, you know, it's easy enough to say, oh, I'd like to quieten down. Obviously, meditation's, you know, a common practice for that, but then a lot of people don't actually want to meditate because it's hard, especially if you've got quite a fast mind to try and just sit still for an amount of time, and because it's hard, you end up not doing it.
Yeah, and you can't do it in your lunch break.
No,
that's the path to madness. Yeah. It's. Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, simple things, the way we can walk, you know, walking in a different way and just having a different awareness, sort of self-awareness, and learning more about the environment around us, you know, like learning new plants, and then you're not just walking past plants, you know, plants that is just, you can't differentiate between one and another, but you actually know a bit of the story, and it's like walking past a friend and, you know, trees or birds or practicing bird language, and, you know, you start hearing things, and it's not just a bird call anymore. It's like, ah, there's something going on over there. That blackbird's feeling really nervous. And life just, it has a deeper story around, because you start understanding and paying attention to things, and then you realize, you know, that the bird call's connected to something else that you know, and then suddenly that story deepens, and then through time, a simple walk from your house to your car, you know, you're noticing and you're getting a real story of the world around you.
So is that how you got to where you are? Just starting to notice stuff? Did you do any courses or anything like that?
No, not really. I didn't really do any courses.
Or spend time with a mentor?
You know, I'd done a bit of sort of plant medicine. I've done a couple of courses around plant medicine.
Yeah.
No, I think my mentor is nature itself, and, you know, it's just become a passion, and I mean, you can watch a David Attenborough documentary about an insect who lives in your wall, and it, you know, it gets explained to you, and then it blows your mind. It's like, well, I had no idea, you know. It's amazing, these little insects living in my wall, and they're doing this all day long. And, you know, and then you see that insect and you look at it a little bit differently, you know, you have a bit more respect for it. And that's what my life's like, because I'm always watching things and asking the questions and trying to understand and seeing the patterns and how things are intertwined. And yeah, just my experience of things, it's just brought a lot more joy and sort of meaning to things which I spent my life ignoring.
I think I'm trying to think of it like the counter to it is that how would people feel? It's wasting time. There's things to be done. You can't just sit around and look at stuff.
No,
And you can learn things a lot quicker by googling them.
No, you can't. You can get lots of information on Google.
Yeah,
but you know, I feel we're in this planet and this place to experience our life and to experience the world, and you know, up until very recently, and the history of our planet has been very interactive. And it's, you know, it's been touching and feeling and that sensory connection to the world around us and the people around us. And I feel that's a big part of who we are. And I know there's a lot of research around, you know, I guess, the benefits of nature connection and the benefits of being outdoors and taking a walk and being in the forest and, you know, health benefits and well-being benefits and mental health benefits. And I feel it all just ties into, you know, our longer human journey. And it's just what we are, you know. It's, these connections are already part of who we are, because that's how, you know, humanity's changed over a million years, and we've changed according to our environment. You know, we're very adaptable beings, as are all animals. So we're very much a part of our environment. I'm always telling the kids we are the stream, and literally we are the stream, you know. Our bodies are mostly water, and that water comes from the sky.
Yeah.
You know, and we are the soil, the nutrients we get. We are the, you know, it's not actually at a deeper level. We're not different, you know. We're all part of this whole. And, you know, understanding that, not because of Google, but understanding that because you're out there and you're experiencing it and you're deeply understanding it. Brings a lot of depth to my life and a lot of enjoyment in simple things. And I'm not sitting around all day doing nothing, you know. I'm busy, but the way I do things has changed. And I think I can fairly say that I enjoy, you know, even the most mundane things. I can just get so much enjoyment from it, just being present and being there with, and there's always birds singing to me, and there's always things to enjoy, and the sun or the wind, you know, on my skin.
What does being present mean in practice? Because we hear the phrase a lot, but yeah. I'd like to hear.
I think it's a bit of a spectrum of presence, you know. And I guess you could ask 10 people, and I'm not here to sort of to give the answers, as you know. For me, it is having my senses all, you know, having awareness of what I'm experiencing at the sensory level. So, and that's something that through my nature connection practices I've spent a lot of time on, sort of stretching. And I guess with my work at times it ties into my work as well. So my ability to, I guess, process information in a modern term, but to hear the car and the bird in the distance and know what that's going on, whilst, you know, visually taking in a lot of information and noticing a lot of things, and then whilst at the same time sort of being connected to myself and how I'm feeling and how my body's interacting with things. You know, and touch and temperature and feeling the wind and noticing the wind changes whilst doing the things that I'm, you know, I'm always doing in my life. It just becomes a sort of a healthy habit, I guess.
Several of the guests that I interview regularly talk about this part of the brain that filters out the information we get in. So we get in, you know, our brain, our senses bring in too much information for us to process. We couldn't process it all at one time, we'd go mad. So we have, and I don't know the name of it, a part of the brain that's job is to filter out the stuff that it thinks is what we want to know about, and which it's just what we normally pay attention to or what we think is important. So you've probably trained that part of your brain to be aware of that stuff. I think a lot of us have trained to shut that stuff out so we can focus on, sometimes it feels like the internal monologue. It's not really what you want to be focused on, but focused on sorting problems out or administration, kind of administration of life, administration of the world we live in.
Yeah. I mean, I can't definitely can't escape those things in life. But definitely, I think I've made a choice that, you know, the things that really make me happy isn't that, you know, the things that really make me happy are, I'm so grateful to live in such a beautiful place and so many amazing, inspiring people around me and, you know, doing the things that I love and really feel like I'm living. So I think I've sort of made a choice that, yeah, sure, you know, I spent a lot of time yesterday getting my admin done, but, you know, it doesn't need to be. I think a good analogy is, which I've learned in sort of the last couple of years, you know, when you're going on holiday and it's not until you sort of, you're in the car sometimes and you're on your way that it feels right, the holiday's begun.
Yeah.
You know, and up until then it can be quite rushed and quite stressful and horrible sometimes, and you know, I spent many times going, is it even worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Why don't I just not pack the car and just stay at home and not have to go through this? But having an awareness of that, I sort of learned that, well, you know, a holiday doesn't really exist, you know, it's just it's a different state which I'm allowing myself to get into.
Yeah.
And why can't my holiday start before I've even started packing? You know, why can't I pack the car and enjoy packing the car and doing all of those things and trying to be there on time, and just that's part of my holiday and the experience, and you know, enjoy the excitement of it and not feel, my holiday's only going to start when this is done. But right now, you know, right this moment, right now, I can enjoy this. This is naturally no different to a holiday. It's I'm alive and I'm in this world. So it's just that sort of mindset. And I guess, yeah, in life, you know, whether it's doing admin or things, you know, I'm only going to do my connection once my admin's finished. I've sort of thrown it out and I can sit and I can do my admin and I can... The world's still there.
Scheduling, you know? Connection is not connection also.
Yeah, I would say. You know, it doesn't matter. And, you know, obviously I spent so much time in the bush and it's been one of my biggest teachers is the natural environments. But anywhere, anything you're doing, first thing you do when you wake up in the morning and close your eyes, you know, the birds are singing outside and the winds and the clouds are moving, and you can take a moment. You don't need to sort of think, all right, now I'm awake, I need to go up and get and do things. Yeah, sure, we've got to do things, but you know, we can do it in a way, and we can live our lives in a way that we're not just rushing all the time and taking the time to actually, like, do I want to get up in the morning and feel rushed every single day? Because we don't have to, you know, and we can just sort of change those habits. And you know, it's good to have an object, and nature is around you all the time, and nature in terms of, you know, sort of the natural forces and natural environments are always there and can be a really good object to help you on your way.
Have you noticed how advertising for holidays always talks about it in the same terms you talk about breaking out of prison?
I have never noticed that.
Getaway, right?
Yeah.
They talk about your getaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's other, I can't think of them right now. This is a thought, something I used to think about a long time ago. But yeah, they often talk about going on holiday in the same terminology as breaking out of prison.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that ritual of getting packed and getting in the car must be necessary for a lot of people, a lot of us, to then start to feel like, to give ourselves permission to put that, all the so-called important things aside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more thought,
yep,
which I want to leave people with, is you know, when you're going on holiday and you're on holiday and it's like, ah, oh, this is good, you know, I left, you know, you're relaxed and you sort of, you've calmed down and life's slow and it's like, ah, oh, this is great, you know. All right, I'm going to try really hard when I get home to just keep living like this.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us have had that thought.
Yeah.
And we don't really usually have too much success with it. But just ask yourself why. Like, what is it? What is it from going on holiday? What's different about being on holiday and being at home? And if you go deep with that, I think you'll learn a lot of things and you'll get a lot of, you know, it might be different for every single person, but I think you'll get a lot of useful information through asking yourself that question. Yeah. So what is it? What is it in life which actually is making things difficult for you? And what is it in life which makes you feel relaxed and slow and calm?
All right, folks, we've been talking to Robs with our Nature Connection chat. Any more Nature Connection workshops coming up, Robs?
Yes, there is. Here? Yeah, thanks for reminding me. We do an annual, called it the Native Ways Weekender last time, and it's in the Purongya Forest Park Lodge, so it's only an hour away from here. It's a weekend. So two nights, it's a really beautiful place, and we do nature connection things, in, you know, true to how I'm sort of carrying myself here. There's not an expectation. We offer things, there's activities, there's some nature craft, but there's no pressure, you know. It's kind of a very relaxed, almost festival sort of atmosphere where people can just relax and chill out. And if they need to just connect with people or if they need to go into the bush, you know, it's your weekend. Enjoy it. Enjoy the people there. Enjoy the beautiful place.
But if you want to do things, you but have some things like
me and up. Myself and Nick, we're offering lots of different workshops and lots of games. It's playful. It's lighthearted. You know, there'll probably be some you know, traditional fire skills and maybe some crafts as well on offer. But it's fun. There's a lot of Raglan community which make it out because it's close by. It's all ages. A lot of families come. But, you know, whether you're a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old, you'll find things to enjoy there for sure.
Okay. All right. Thanks for coming in, Rob.
Cheers, sir.